It is almost Easter. So let's take this time for Jesus to get us there. Jesus went with the disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So, you could not stay awake with me for 1 hour. Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Now the hour is at hand, when the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Look, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived with him. And with him was a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now, the betrayer had given them a sign saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once he came up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you are here to do." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. And then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back in its place. For all who take the sword will die by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled which say that it must happen in this way?" At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a rebel? Day after day, I sat in the temple teaching and you didn't arrest me, but all this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled." And then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance. As far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward, at last two came forward and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. The high priest stood up and said, have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you? But Jesus was silent. And then the high priest said to him, I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, you have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. And then the high priest tore his clothes and said, he has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? And they answered, he deserves death. Then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, prophesy to us, you Messiah, who slapped you? Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A female servant came to him and said, you also were with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied it before all of them, saying, I do not know what you are talking about. When he went out to the porch, another female servant saw him, and she said to the bystanders, this man was with Jesus, the Nazarene. Again, he denied it with an oath, I do not know the man. After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, certainly you are one of them, for your accent betrays you. And then he began to curse. He swore an oath, I do not know the man. And at that moment, a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered what Jesus had said, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of all the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate the governor. And when Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He said, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. But they said, what is that to us? See to it yourself. And throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed and went and hanged himself. But the chief priest, taking the pieces of silver, said, it is not lawful to put them into the treasury since they are blood money. After conferring together, they used them to buy the potter's field as a place to bury foreigners. For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah, which is this, and they took the 30 pieces of silver and the price of one on whom a price had been set, and on whom some of the people of Israel had set a price, and they gave them for the potter's field as the Lord commanded me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus said, you say so. But when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he did not answer. And then Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many accusations they make against you? But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called Messiah? For he realized it was only out of jealousy they had handed over Jesus. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with this man, this innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "And what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." And then he asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And then the people as a whole answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters. They gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe, put his own clothes back on him, and then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall, but when he tasted it, he could not drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. And then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." And then two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others, but he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe him. He trusts God. Let God deliver him now if he wants to, for he said, 'I am God's Son.'" The rebels who were crucified with him also taunted him this way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At about 3:00, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him who were keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said, "Truly this man was God's son." Many women were also there, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was himself a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. Then he rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him and tell the people he's been raised from the dead, and that the last deception would be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can." So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. Let me ask our table servers to make their way to the back and then come join me up front. So last week we spent time at the table with Jesus where he gives thanks for the bread and then he breaks it and he hands it to his disciples and he says, "I want you to take this and eat this because it is my body, broken for you." And then he takes the cup and he blesses it and he hands it to his disciples and he says, "I want you to take this and drink it, all of you, because this is my blood poured out for you." Jesus has taken the worst thing that we humans could do to him. The brutal and violent breaking of his body and spilling of his blood. He's taken that and made it our salvation. So Jesus says, "Do this. Share this meal. Eat this bread, my body, together. Drink this cup, my blood, together. Here is our covenant together. Here is the forgiveness of your sins. The worst thing that you can do, killing the Son of God, I am making it one and the same as your salvation." So, church, as we share the bread and the cup, his body and his blood, do so with gratitude and wonder. This is how you and I are saved. This is how Jesus makes sure you and I get to belong to him forever. Constantly coming together to this table and not only beholding but but consuming his broken body and his spilled blood. As you take this bread and this cup, please know how loved you are. That's what we're eating and drinking right now. His sacrificial love for us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you now to this table so thankful for your body that you allowed to be broken for us. We thank you for loving us this much. And so now as we take this bread, your body, into ourselves, we ask you, please remake us in your image. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we have seen what you put yourself through. The breaking of your body, the spilling of your blood. We're thankful that you have given your very self and your blood that we may experience new life with you, that we may experience forgiveness and salvation in you. So now we ask that as we take this cup, your blood, into ourselves, please remake us in your image. Amen. Church, you and I were baptized because we love Jesus so much and we are so fascinated by him and enamored by him and cannot imagine life without him, to the extent that we want him to lead us everywhere, even to the cross and onto the cross. We were baptized because we love Jesus that much. We cannot imagine life without him. If you're ready to be baptized, you haven't yet, I hope you see what Jesus put himself through because he loves you. And I hope his love for you draws out your love for him as well. And if you're ready to come forward and be baptized, let me invite you with these words. These are how the Apostle Paul, one of the ways the Apostle Paul reflects on the death of Jesus and the new life that follows when we, through the waters of baptism, participate in his death. When you were buried with him, church, in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside. He nailed it to the cross. He disarmed every force and power at work in the world to pull you away from Jesus. He disarmed all of them. He made a public example out of them, triumphed over them in the cross. Amen. Let's stand and sing.